Steve Fitter, one of our board members, just got back from Haiti, doing part of a mission project that our church is a part of, and also Scott Thompson is his company, Thompson Concrete, has actually been heading up this program. And I thought, since Steve just got back, and Scott's here? Yeah, there is. Okay. So I thought we'd take a few minutes and just get to hear what's going on in Haiti. So if you guys would come on up, and why don't you guys let them know we appreciate them being here. Grab a chair. Let's start with you first there, Scott. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave, I really want to thank you for having me here
this morning. It's awesome. Awesome to be here, and the changes you guys have made. It was like 15 years ago for a Christmas service we were here. And,
okay.
So it's this is awesome, the new floor, the blackout, the entry. So.
All right, good, yeah. Scott. Well, so, Scott, your company actually is kind of taking the initiative in this whole program, working with the missionaries down in Haiti. How about you just share with the church, what started this whole thing with you?
Well, Steve's a big part of our company. He's helped build the company with me. It's been in business for 30 years. And it's the company, Thompson Concrete and Thompson Excavation, we decided that probably about 15 years ago, we wanted to do more than just pour concrete and move dirt. So we got involved in missions locally, and we're also involved in missions in Haiti, and we're involved in missions in Russia, too.
Man.
So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, when Scott talks about involved, they're like really involved. A serious amount of work going on down there. How about, Steve, tell us about the nutrition center that you guys, I'm going to guess, is now finished. Tell us a little bit about what was going on last year and then what's happened since our trip down there last year to this year.
Well, the last years that we've been going, what, 6 years now, I believe, the children have been fed behind the old church. They'd walk down the street and I guess like a little alleyway between two buildings, kind of tight, dirt for a surface, and the ladies cooked in a little building. It's probably 15 by 10 foot. The walls inside were pure black from all the charcoal fires all those years, and they cooked on charcoal. And the children would come in one time a day. They'd bring their own bowls, and the cooks would pull the big pots of food out, and they'd just give them a scoop or two of food. And then the children would leave with the food and walk on the streets and go home. And some of them would walk truly miles. And I heard stories, I didn't see it, but I heard stories of sometimes the food didn't even make it home. People would take it from them. And when they did get home, they would have to share the food. They would alternate days, what kids got to eat and stuff. That was last year and all the previous years of what I saw. With what the church gave last year, it was over $28,000. Figured at $180 per kid, that I believe fed 160 children for a year, as we had the money figured then. That money, if you look at this picture up there, that's a cart. That's the cook area of the new nutrition center. And every bowl of food now has, I saw chicken in there, I saw noodles, and there was a sauce put in. And I even saw onions, where they were chopping up fresh onions with the rice and beans, the same rice and beans they had before. But every child now goes in and sits down in a very secure location, the nutrition center, which we'll have some more pictures of here. But that cart is wheeled out, and every kid is served a bowl of food, and they do it now twice a day. And they sit there, they eat the bowl of food, and they also are given a drink of fresh water. It's the same water that we drink in the big 5-gallon blue containers with ice. Here's a picture of them. But they sit there, they eat the food. They don't go out on the street with the food, so we know every child is eating that meal.
It is awesome.
And it is
beautiful.
Awesome.
It is really beautiful. Yeah, that is a man.
Big thanks to you. A big thanks. How many, so that equates to you guys are feeding 160 kids?
Yeah, it is so spectacular. I mean, just in 1 year, you know. Well, I mean, you guys were building that, I think, for probably 2 years or something, the nutrition center. But wow, off the street in a beautiful, clean environment. They wash their hands. They sit at a table. They get the food. Man, it's really wonderful. I so appreciate being a part of this with you guys. That is really, really beautiful. So you want to say
something? I just want to say something about you two right here and your pastor. This is great. When he was down there a year ago, he ate with these kids for the entire week.
Yeah.
And that's all he had. And they get a bowl of rice with a little bit of chicken, and that's servant leadership right there, man. Give both these guys a big hand because.
Yeah, it was an adventure. Scott, tell us a little bit about the missionaries. Now, you're working with Larry and Diane. Tell us a little bit about who they are, how long they've been there. What are they doing there?
They've been there right at 40 years. Yeah, right at 40 years, which is incredible. They pretty much dedicated their lives, and they call themselves Haitians. I've got to spend a lot of time with Diana and Larry. And Diana, I'm telling you, she's like a modern-day Mother Teresa. There's just no, hands down, no question. You shake your head, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such a privilege to be a part of that when we go down there and spend time with them.
What about some of the projects they've done? I mean, they've been there, they built the church. You guys helped them build the church. Yeah, I mean, there's been a bunch of different projects.
Well, you've been to some of the other ones too. Yeah, they, just last year when Dave was down with us, we took a drive up in the mountains on a Saturday, the day before we flew out. And to my surprise, because I've seen orphanages, I've seen hospitals, the church we were involved building, I knew there were others, the nutrition center, the classrooms now that are above the nutrition center. So I've seen all this with my own eyes. But then when we drive up in the mountains, Larry went with us, and to my surprise, he had built a church up in the mountains that we got to see. I don't remember, Dave. Was it 20 years ago he built this church?
Yeah, I think that's what he said, 20 years ago.
And the church is still thriving and going strong. It was a very difficult journey in a four-wheel drive Polaris for us to get there. Larry used to walk there. He hasn't been able to go back because of his age for many years, and he was excited to see it and to see the church. Obviously, they weren't there having a service, but it was clean, spotless, and Larry noted some changes and some growth in the church. So 40 years they've just kept on doing this, and I don't know the number of churches they've built, but it's numerous. Yeah. But it was nice to see one that many years ago still thriving that he did.
Very successful, truly very successful. Scott, so now there's the story about the voodoo tree. So you guys, before I went down there, told me some of the stories about it. I think it's one more slide and we'll come back to the, yeah, there it is. So tell the church a little bit about this tree and what's been going on all the years you've been down there.
You know, for the last 6 years, the first time we visited it, that tree was probably 15 times that size. And it's pretty incredible because they used to do sacrifices there, and I'm pretty sure they still do. This is real. I mean, voodoo is real in the area. And voodoo is, it's a lot of the premise behind it is fear, you know, intimidation and fear. And Steve and I, we wanted to do something extra while we were down there. And he and I talked, and we kind of had a vision. Why don't we build a cross? You know, we started out, you know, we'll put a nice little, this is on the hillside where we're at in the mission area. It's an area of 500,000. Let me back up a little bit. There's over 500,000 people there. And we decided to, we're going to build a cross. We looked at, let's put a little 30-some foot cross up. And it's like, God said, no, we're going to go a little bigger than that.
Wow.
And it's like, how do we do that? There's no equipment there. There's no concrete pumps. There's no concrete plants. So we built a cross with the Haitian help and God's help and everyone. 54 feet tall. If you back up one slide out of concrete, you can't see the top of it. That's how tall it is. So, but what's neat about that cross is it gives them hope from the intimidation and the fear from the voodoo priest have on them. That thing shines. It shines 24/7 with LED lights that you can see from the ocean when the cruise ships go by. So it's just something extra that we wanted to do, and it's just neat and something that the Haitians can see and have hope.
Seems like something supernatural going on with that tree, though. You said it was like five times the size of that, and every year you go there, you said now branches are just falling off.
The cross, Steve was the first one to kind of survey where we were putting the cross, and we angled it around, and it kind of faces that tree up on the hillside. So just figure that out.
Yeah, something's going on. I'm thinking of that Bible verse, you know, Paul said in Corinthians that the message of the cross is the power of God, you know, and it's like, I don't know, but yeah, the tree is dying. The tree is dying. That would be cool if we could help it a little bit, but... No, I don't know. But anyway, it's pretty cool. It's really pretty cool. How about, Steve, a little bit more? Just what are some thoughts you guys have, future work going on down there? What do you see for the future?
Wow. It was just, I think, Friday, Scott and I were in, I was in Scott's office, and he made the comment, pretty much, we're just getting started. We got a lot left to do. It's Man. The beginning right now.
Wow. What about the building you were just telling me a little bit about? You're putting another building up?
Yeah, just below the cross. Larry calls it a depot. It's going to end up a medical mission center. All the medical supplies are up in the house, and Larry wants a depot to store some goods and stuff. It's 86 feet long by 24 foot deep, and it's going to have 12 foot four high walls inside, solid concrete, with three doors on the outside. It's a really neat thing that we're in the process of building for him. And when Larry wasn't around, I let Diane know that all her medical supplies could go down there. She was very excited. It's going to end up a medical facility to help treat the people, the local people right in that area.
So. Yeah, when I was there, every morning they lined up on the front porch for medical care from Diana. I mean, she was just doing basic first aid. I mean, infections and cuts. And I remember two times a guy showed up. They had been in a bad fight the night before, and they were all cut up and stuff. It's like, oh, man. And she's doing medical care for them, taking care of them,
yes.
and putting ointment on stuff. So that'll really be an awesome thing. I mean, obviously, they're not getting in that community much, if at all, any medical care. So, yeah, tremendous work you guys are doing. And so just a heads up, you know, Easter's coming. And so every year on Easter, we give our entire offering away, and we split it between three foreign missions. We do Haiti, and that's $180, feeds the children. $180, go through it again, Steve. $180 covers...
We'll be doing financials again here in about a month, so that number might go up or down slightly. We're getting everything figured out, but $180 will feed a child for a year,
six days,
and we had enough at that number to feed 160. When I was down at the nutrition center this last visit a few weeks ago, 207 children came in, and between the two feedings, 130 and 230 feedings, we had 207 come in.
Yeah, so you know, be praying about the Easter offering, and you can give to the Brazil, to the Haitian mission where we're feeding the children. You can give to Brazil. We'll be talking about that in a couple of weeks. The water filters that are going in down to Brazil, and then also to Vietnam, purchasing wheelchairs and being able to bless those people. So really exciting, and I just want to say I super appreciate the work you guys are doing. It is. I mean, when I was down there last year, I was in awe thinking, wow, this is a big deal. You guys are really making a difference. And, you know, for sure, I mean, I'm sure most of you know there's a lot of trouble going on down there. I know, Scott, you were headed down and you were told you couldn't go now, so your trip had to get rearranged. But there's a lot of trouble down there, and you know, it's an oppressed country. It truly is. But we know the answer, right? We know it's the kingdom of God, and so I'm really thankful for what you guys are doing. I wonder, Steve, if you would just maybe just lead us in prayer for what's going on down there in the mission work, and especially Larry and Diane. They decided to stay, right? I mean, all the Americans are out.
Yeah, Larry and Diane have stayed, even though there's a big threat down there. They said, we're not leaving. This is our home. This is our children, and it's pretty neat. One thing I did want to add is that we personally, and Pastor Dave and Steve, we've been there for 6 years, and the money is so well spent. Almost all of your money goes to these kids, goes right to these kids' mouths and feeding them. You need to know that. That's, you know, that's big these days. So you need to know, appreciate you guys, what you do for Haiti here.
Yep, it is well spent, no doubt about it. Steve, lead us in prayer.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we ask for your hand to help the people of Haiti. Right now there's a lot of civil unrest going on in the country. It's not the fault of the people, that they just want to improve their life. We ask for your guidance with the new president. He's been in office for 2 years. He's an awesome individual. We ask that he get more time to help fix and help these people. We ask that you put an end to the corruption once and for all in Haiti. It goes so deep. And we ask for your guidance to drive the corruption out, so that these people can live a life that we here are more accustomed to, where they don't have to worry every day about their food and their water and their children's health. We thank you for the opportunity, for all that we have been able to do down there, and and all the other people that come from the United States and Canada and all over the world that go down and help those people. We ask that you keep all them safe, and you put an end to this civil unrest so that a lot of us can keep on going down safely to keep on helping these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate you, man, brother. Yeah. So if you have questions about what's going on down there, these guys would be glad to talk with you. There's really great opportunity if you want to be a part of what they're doing. Also, our Vietnam team is leaving this weekend. Two already left. Bob and Jenny are already there. I saw some pictures. They've landed. They're healthy. Everything's going well. But the trip actually starts March 1st. And so where's our Vietnam team people? If you just stand up real quick, we just want to pray a blessing over you. I see Mike and Henry. Let's see, Linda. All right. And then Bob and Jenny Eversall are there. So, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, you just bless our team as they head over to Vietnam. I pray for a safe trip. I pray for health, God. God, I pray for an anointing on every wheelchair that is distributed, that the people know this is coming from America, from people who are Christians, who love them. And God, that you would use it to bring an advancement of your kingdom and a freedom to that country. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we're looking forward to a report when you folks get back. It's going to be awesome for sure. All right, so I've got about 10 minutes here to do a real quick sermon. All right, so I wanted to do the interview, and I wanted to talk a little bit about our sermon series. I'm kind of combining them here this morning. So we've been doing a sermon series called Doing Life Together. And Chip started it, Pastor Chip started 2 weeks ago, and he talked about a passage out of the Gospel of Mark. And it was Mark chapter 12, where Jesus was asked a question. I'll just paraphrase the whole story, but Jesus said, hey, they asked Jesus, can you summarize the entire Bible for us? You know, put it, like, give us the Cliff Note versions. And what's the most important thing? And Jesus said, yeah, I'll be glad to. He said, it's real simple. Love God, love your neighbor. Now they asked him for one commandment, but it sounded like Jesus gave him two. But when he got done saying that, he said, on this one commandment, you can hang the entire Bible. And the reason Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor, and it sounds like two, he really meant it to be one, because they can't be separated. And what he's saying is, loving God and loving your neighbor truly go together. And really what he was trying to say was, if you really get the message of the Bible is that relationships are the most important thing to God, more than anything else. More than anything else, healthy relationship with God, your Father, and with your neighbor. He goes, that is what it's all about. And so that was Chip's sermon 2 weeks ago. Last week, my son Paul talked about the Apostle Paul and his work with the church in Thessalonica. And we read this passage last week where Paul said that he shared life with them. He did life with them. And what he was saying is, I shared more than just the gospel. He said, I shared my life with you. And then Paul talked about how when you do life with people, it affects you in such a way that you end up kind of imitating one another in a good way. And then Paul said, not only that, but the word got out. People started taking notice, because when people are doing life together, first of all, what I believe is, I believe this with all my heart, that we're born with a hunger for being part of a community. We're born with a hunger to connect with people. And when people see that, when they see community, when they see people connected, they're drawn to it. And in that passage Paul wrote in the book of Thessalonians, he said, because this church had started doing life together, the word was getting out. Evangelism, the kingdom of God, was being advanced. And so I just want to take a few minutes this morning and share a few more thoughts on this whole idea of doing life together, because it is the foundation. As Jesus said, it's really what it's about. So last Saturday, I learned a brand new word, and the word is mishpuka, mishpuka. And I hope you catch this word and you remember it, because the word mishpuka is a Hebrew word. It's Yiddish, and it means family. And it means family by blood. So it means your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, your siblings. It means your aunts and uncles. It means your nieces and nephews. It means your in-laws. But actually, the word mishpuka means more than that. It's wider. It means the collection of people that you do life with. It's being part of a community is what the word mishpucha means. And so what happened was I was at a wedding. I was at the wedding with Joshua Poland and Summer Clark, and there were all these people there, and these are people like that I've done life with. And I remember saying to a number of them, I feel like we're all like family, like we're family. And there were definitely a number of people there that were family, like blood relatives. And then there were some family that were like in-laws. And then there were some family that I jokingly said, well, your family, like, I think once removed, you're like an in-law of an in-law and a cousin of a cousin of a brother of a sister. And you're a cousin of a sister of a brother who's an in-law. And pretty soon I just said, man, we're just family. We are just family, you know. And it just felt so good because it's like, these are people that I've done life with. And some of these people I've done life with for 5 years or 10 years. Some of these people I've done life with for like 40 years. And there's something so beautiful about this word mishpucha. It means being part. It means you belong. You're part of something. And here's the piece, doing life together, mishpucha means doing life together, and the Bible has so much to say about doing life together. I just want to take a few minutes and talk about one passage, and it really blends in with this word mishpucha. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, bring up Acts chapter 2 verse 42. I just want to read this to you and point this out. I think this will help you, but this is the early church, and it's talking about, you know, how they developed. And so you read in Acts chapter 2, you read verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. This is the early church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and prayer. Now just as a question, if I were to survey you, and I were to ask you, what are the four most important things that a church should do? Or what are the four most important things that the early church focused on? I think probably your average church person would say, well, they studied the Bible and they prayed. Then I think we'd probably hear some other things. We'd say things like they evangelized, they gave, they served others, they did mission projects, they worshiped. I wonder how many Christians would say they fellowshipped. They fellowshipped. Like, I'm pretty sure that would not show up anyplace. We would say all the other things. They studied the Bible, they prayed, they fasted, they served one another, they shared the gospel, yeah, all those things. But here's what we're reading here. Here are the four things the writer says the early church did. They continued in this steadfastly, the apostles' doctrine, that would be like Bible study, sermons, and they continued in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, so that would be like communion. I think also, as you continue to read on, it means they ate meals together. And then in prayer. But my concern is, I think maybe the word fellowship has gotten a bit of a bad rap. I think most of us, if we were challenged, would not put the word fellowship on the same level as prayer. We would not put it on the same level as studying God's word. We would not put it on the same level as doing missionary work or preaching the gospel or praying with somebody. But yet here, it looks to me like they're equal. They're all important. Like they're four legs of a healthy table that's working. Like one is not more important than the other. And so maybe just to think about this. So what is fellowship? What do you think fellowship means? I think most of us, you know, we just have this low value on fellowship. But when the Bible talks about fellowship, actually the Greek word is koinonia. And koinonia means doing life together. That's what it means. It means being part of other people's lives. It means sharing. And it generally means it takes time, energy, and money. It just doesn't happen like it just happens. It means you begin to value something, and that is relationships, and then you invest your time, energy, and money. And in particular, this is talking about Christian fellowship, so this is talking about sharing your spiritual life But like Paul said in the book of Thessalonica, or Thessalonians, he said, but I shared my entire life with you. So he wasn't just super spiritual. He meant he shared his life. So that means when this word fellowship is used here, it means they shared their life together. So that would mean the good times and the bad times. You know, they worked through the hard times. It means in fellowship, Christian fellowship, they weren't just, you know, coming to church on Sunday and see you later. It means that they did things together and they worked through differences. They worked through issues. It means when they were offended, they didn't quit. They hung in there. It means they encouraged one another, that they built a life together. And so you begin to see something here. And this is my take on the thought this morning, is I think the fellowship and the breaking of the bread and the prayers and the Bible study is what produced what I would call mishpucha. It produces it. It takes that kind of energy to become part of a community and to really belong. And so, you know, it's something I believe we value, and it's something when you're a part of, you look around and you go, man, this is rich, man. Because I believe God created us to be a part of a community, not to be isolated or off by ourselves. And there is tremendous amount of research being done about the importance of doing life together as opposed to being isolated. There's a famous study done in 1965 out of California, Alameda, California. They followed 5,000 people. So this is a pretty good size survey for 10 years. At the beginning of the survey, they had the people write down all the significant relationships that they had. Cousins, friends, relatives, neighbors, spouses, that kind of thing. And for those 10 years, these people had to log how much time they spent in those relationships. After 10 years, this is a survey done. After 10 years, they found out that the people who spent the least amount of time in relationships died 3 times more than those who had the most interactive relationships. Did you catch that? 3 times higher death rate. And this survey, it didn't even matter what the relationships were. In other words, it didn't have to be a romantic relationship. It didn't have to be a relative. Anything significant where you spent time with another person, those who spent the most time lived 3 times longer than those who were isolated. So this idea of mishpucha is saying I'm part of a community, but I think it's not just because it's a good feeling, it's living a long, healthy life. And when we're talking about doing life together, we're trying to encourage you to say, you know what, there's something, you reap a benefit of this. And just really quickly in closing, one of the things we've been working on Sunday morning, so, you know, over the years, we just keep trying to reevaluate our service and try to see how can we be more effective in helping you, making it productive for you. So one of the things we've done over the past couple years is we've trimmed down the length of our Sunday service. And generally, if you were to ask somebody, you know, how long is your Sunday service? Most people would count it from when the first song starts until the last prayer. You know, basically they count the worship and the sermon and the prayer, maybe some ministry, and they say that's the length of your service. And so using that as a guideline, we've trimmed down that portion of the service to about 65 minutes, generally, somewhere around 65 minutes. But here's the reason why. The reason we've done that is because we began to realize something, that by not counting fellowship as part of the service, we were really not being biblical or not following the pattern of the New Testament church. What we're trying to do is to say, really, I mean, I wouldn't tell somebody who's calling and asking, somebody who's not part of our church, I wouldn't say our service is an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes, but really counting fellowship as a significant part of what we were created to do. People hang out now after the service 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. That's part of the service. That's significant. That's not secondary. Like, well, you know, it's just something you do. You say hi to everybody and then you go home. No, this is building life together. This is how you begin to make those connections so that you can have mishpuka, you can have a community that you belong to. You can't just do it on Sunday morning, but you say hi to people, you reconnect with people. And then also, it's the whole idea of recognizing that people come to church, many people come to church, whether they know this or not, they're drawn by God. And one of the reasons they're drawn by God is because there's a hunger to connect. They say 70% of the American population today is completely disconnected. 70%, way too mobile. And so our hope is that we're counting the fellowship as part of our service, and that we're saying, hey, you know what, let's all work together here. Let's work together here. And so let's first of all understand that part of our service is fellowship, and we're connecting with people, but we're helping new people connect. We're helping them to begin making connections. And we make a commitment to you to say, listen, if you will pray and God will lead you to bring your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers, we as the staff and the church leadership, we will work with you and pray to do our best to give those people an opportunity to experience the presence of God and to give them that opportunity to open their hearts up to God or to reconnect with God. But also, we need to work together and begin to value this portion of the church service called fellowship, where we help people connect. Because I tell you, when you are experiencing mishpuka, you just can't help but smile. It's like, man, it is so healthy. It's so healthy. The Bible speaks highly of it, uses a different word, fellowship, but I believe fellowship produces being part of a community. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for our church family here, God, and I thank you that we do have fellowship, that we are part of a community. And God, I thank you for the friends and the family and the extended family that we have, God. I pray, Lord, that we begin to take a biblical view of fellowship, that we understand it's sharing life, it's doing life together, it's connecting with people, and that we move it up the list of things that are important to us, God. And I pray, Lord, I pray for our small groups, I pray for our Sunday service, God, that these all become part of building your kingdom. The end result, God, is we begin to see even more of your favor upon the community, that people are drawn to your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Holy Spirit, we just rejoice in your presence right now. There's something healing and cleansing, God, as we just stand in your presence. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. As we're getting ready to wrap up the service here, I do want to take a minute, and I just sensed this morning as we were singing that song that Jesus is calling, that there's some of you here today, I don't know, I just got this sense that maybe you've been sensing something missing in your life, and I'm not sure, but I got this picture of you actually like calling out to God, like, what's missing? And truly, until you really connect with God, until you open your heart up and receive into your life the Holy Spirit, there will be an empty spot. It just cannot be filled by anything else. And I just want to take a moment here as we're closing up the service just to challenge you to say, you know, if God brought you here today, maybe it's your first Sunday, maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, maybe you've been coming for a long time. But if you're sensing that tug at your heart, and if I'm talking to you and you've been kind of questioning what's missing in my life, then today, the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit is trying to answer that. He'll begin to meet that need for you. You first truly connect with God, and then you begin to truly connect with people, and that God-shaped hole that's in your heart truly gets filled instead of a gnawing ache. So I'm just going to pray here, and if I'm talking to you in just a minute, I'll just ask you to raise your hand, and right where you're standing, we'll just pray for you right there. We'll pray a simple prayer, but I truly believe when you pray that kind of prayer and you open your heart, I believe the Holy Spirit honors that. So Holy Spirit, I thank you. I just thank you for your presence, and you just make our lives so full. And I pray here this morning, God, if there's someone here who may be sensing that need, that desire, that hunger's been awakened, and they realize they need you, God, would you just knock at the door of their heart right now? Let them hear your call. Let them sense you reaching out to them, that they could say, yes, yes, I want God in my life. If I'm talking to you, just do me a favor. Say, Pastor Dave, just raise your hand. Just hold your hand up. I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. We're going to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Right back here is a hand up over here. I'm talking to you. You just sense that hunger. Hold your hand up. We're going to pray. Right back here, two more hands right here. I see it right here. Good. Hold up. Yep. Come on. This is your time. Right over here. Anybody else? Just sense that hunger this morning. You want to clearly make that connection. Hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. Good for you, sister. Good for you. All right, just keep your hand up. If you happen to be standing next to somebody who's got their hand up, just do me a favor. Just stand right with them there. And we're just going to pray. Everybody just join with me. A real simple prayer. Let's all pray this together. Jesus, I open my life up to you right now. Please come in. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Just come right now, Holy Spirit. Just come right now. In the name of Jesus, right now. Right here. Right here. Right here. In the name of Jesus, right now. Just come. Just come, Holy Spirit. Good for you, brother, man. I believe God's honoring your prayer. I don't care what baggage you're bringing. I don't care what your past says. The Holy Spirit is coming in and giving you a brand new start. The Bible says when you connect with Christ, old things pass away. Everything is made new. Made new in the name of Jesus. Made new in the name of Jesus. Made new in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Just real quick, those of you that raised your hand, or any of you, if you do have some questions, in the back right there, the next step table, there will be some people. Love to talk with you. Just kind of help you. Maybe answer some